حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
On the subject of insan and iman, which is the subject in Surah Al-Asr, we have been speaking for the last 21 nights. And here we see that we approach this stage of the subject, that what are the effects of usul al-deen in our lives. When we have iman and aqeedah in usul al-deen, in Tawheed, in Adl, and the rest of Usul al-Deen, what is the effect of having Iman in these things, and what are the results of it? And we said that when a person has Iman in the Tawheed of Allah, then the most important effect that happens in his life is that he becomes Muttaqi. He fears Allah. Someone who believes in Allah with his attributes, Allah as the Alim, Allah as the Master, then it will affect his life and it will make him muttaqi. It will make him fear Allah. He will have the awareness of Allah. But if someone, he just accepts Tawheed as a notion or an idea, this doesn't have any effect in him. Yesterday we had mentioned about Adl, and about the fact that Adl of Allah, justice of Allah, and what is the meaning of that, and what is the meaning of Adl when it relates to us. When it relates to Allah, then the standard of justice is good and evil. Meaning that Allah, He must do good and He must abstain from evil. And for us, the standard of Adl is that we should do what is wajib on us and we should abstain from what is haram on us. And the reason Allah, as I had explained yesterday, made this the standard is because good and evil emanates from yourself. Whatever you do, whatever you make as good will be good, whatever you make as evil will be evil. Because when you do something and you say, this is good, it's good for you. And when you do something and say, or for example, you don't like something and say this is evil, this will be evil for you. And hence Allah said that if this was the case, then everyone would make their own good and evil in their life. Everyone will go and say that this is good or evil according to their opinion. But no, Allah said that the way you will be judged if you are adil or not, if you are just or not, is if you do what is wajib on you and not do what is haram on you. Because good and evil you can make up yourself, but wajib and haram you cannot make up yourself. And that's the reason Allah said, no, wajib is revealed by Allah, haram is revealed by Allah. You must obey Allah in order to be regarded as just and as adil. And this is the reason that we see that when the standard of adil is wajib and haram, it means that we have someone who's above us who is revealing this to us. We must have a God above us. We must have an entity above us to say, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, and then if we obey it, then we will become adil. And if we give this standard to Allah, it would mean that there is another entity above Allah who is going to tell him what to do. So this is the reason that those who have a God above them, to them the standard of adl is wajib and haram. But that entity which does not have a God above it and is God himself, for him the standard of justice is good and evil. For him the standard is good and evil. This is the reason, whatever Allah does is good, whatever he does not do is evil. And then we had explained that Allah has made this whole universe based on justice, based on adl. There is a complete justice in whatever is happening in this world. If you look at the universe, and if you look at ourselves, and you see that everything is in its proper place. Everything is in its proper place, and if you move one thing from that place, it will be destroyed. There will be mayhem. It will be a mess. And this is the reason why we see just moving one thing inside of our body from one place to another would lead to disastrous results. And Allah has made it this way, and it is based on justice that He made it. Until here we had reached yesterday. Now I see that I want to explain is that justice is something that is light. Zulm is something that is not light. And when we see that zulm is a thing that is hated, and everyone hates it, and they know that it's bad, if they know that it's bad, why do people do zulm? When you know something is bad, why do you do zulm? Why do people do zulm? Why do they do injustice? And zulm, as we defined yesterday, is to take a thing out of its place. Adl is to put that thing in its proper place. So why is it that people do zulm? When they know that it's bad. And everyone knows that it's bad. They might like zulm when it's being done to others. And they like zulm until they become the victim of it. When they become the victim of it, then you see that everyone starts to cry, I'm mazloom. I've been oppressed. I'm a victim. But when others are the victims of it and you do not feel the burden of zulm, if you are not the victim of zulm, then you see that you have no really anxiety in regards to that zulm until you become the victim. So by this we can understand that everyone hates zulm, and zulm is known when it happens to you. That's when it's known. But now we see this, and we want to understand this better, and let me explain it, if you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In Islam, you see, zulm is regarded as the worst deed that anyone can do. Zulm, injustice, oppression is regarded as the worst thing anyone can do. Islamic law is very flexible. When you look at the Islamic law, you will see that how Islamic law has allowed you leeway in cases of emergency and crisis. For example, if you go to a place and you see that you cannot find anything halal to eat, and you see that if you don't eat, that you will be harmed. So Islam says, it's allowed for you to eat that haram. If you feel that your life is in danger, your health will be in danger, it is allowed for you to eat that haram. But as long as you can maintain your life and health. And it's not that if you start to like it, this is what happens. So you see, understand this. If you start to like it, it doesn't mean that you go on with it. That yes, once you get used to those burgers, then you see how it happens. But what happens? Allah says, no, that cannot be the case. Islam allows you to maintain your life. If your health is being harmed, to maintain your health, gives you that leeway, but says you can do it as long as your life is saved by it. Even when we are sick, for example, or for example, you know, when we, like for example, we go somewhere, and we see we have nothing to drink, the only drink is alcohol, and this is haram in Islam, Islamic law says it's haram, but if your life is in danger, Islam says go ahead, take it, and take as much as you can, save your life. Now when you do save your life, Islam allows you to do that. See how flexible Islamic law is. In times of danger, in times of crisis, in times of emergency, in times of urgency, Islamic law can change from haram to halal. It changes its haram into halal. It even changes things that are sins and says that if you need to lie in order to save your life, then lie. Islam allows you to change haram to halal. It allows you to change that which is ma'asiyat, disliked by Allah, into something that you can do. But the only thing Islam does not allow you to do, no matter what situation you are in, is to do zulm on others.
Yes.
Imagine this. Islam does not allow you to do zulm on others. It doesn't allow you to be unjust to others, and to oppress others, and to take the rights of others. There Islam says, no, you can lie to save your life, you can do other sins to save your life, do haram to save your life, but you cannot do zulm on others to save your life. See that? Now understand how evil a deed zulm is. How evil this is, that Islam, having so much flexibility, but doesn't become flexible when it comes to zulm. And by this itself it shows that the best thing is adl and the worst thing is zulm. The best action is adl and the worst thing is zulm. So when this is the worst thing, and it is known by the aql, it is known by Islamic law, then why is it that people do it? Why do people do zulm? This is what we must answer so that we understand this issue. When you ask the world has one answer, and they say zulm, injustice, oppression, suppression. This is the result of power. When a person becomes strong, then in order to show that he is strong to others, he demonstrates his dominance over others by doing zulm on them. This is, if you ask everyone and interview people around the world and you let them know around the world and say, what is zulm? What is zulm and what is zulm and what is oppression? You will see that they will say that this is whenever anyone has any type of strength and he is stronger than the other, then in order to show other people that you are strong, so you must do zulm on them, injustice on them, so others know that you are strong. For example, you see this amongst, this happens really amongst, for example, kids. Right? You see, one of the kids is older and larger than others. So now he uses his superiority in strength over the younger ones, and he's going to push them around. And this is to show them what? This is to show them what? That I am stronger than you. You see that? So my brothers and sisters, understand this. When the world was asked what is Zulm, they said Zulm is the result of strength. Zulm is the result of power. If you are more powerful than the other, then you do Zulm. If you are stronger than the other, then you do Zulm. And now, when we read the words of the Imams, there is a dua I had read for you earlier in a brief way. And I want to explain that today. When we read the dua of the Imam, it's a small dua. You know, one of those du'as that are in Afatihul Jinnah. There are many du'as there which have no names. And it says it's for this. And this is one of those du'as that are recommended to recite on Thursday night. As the other du'as are there that we recite then. There are other du'as also that are mentioned in the same section. There's this one du'a there. And there, the Imam in that dua, while making the dua, he says something. He says something, and there he says that Zulm, and explains about Zulm. He says, Ya Allah, you do not do Zulm. He makes a statement. He says, Allah, you do not do Zulm. You don't do Zulm. You do not oppress. You don't do Zulm. And he explains why also. He explains why you don't do Zulm. And says that Zulm, whoever that person is in need to do Zulm, the person who is in need to do Zulm, and he needs to do Zulm on others, that person, he does it because he's weak. He says, إِنَّمَا يَهْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ ظُلْمٍ ضَعِيفٍ الضَّعِيفٍ He says that the person who does Zulm, that the person who oppresses others, that person does Zulm because of the fact that he is weak. He has a weakness. And he doesn't want others to know that he is weak. Because he is weak. Because he doesn't have that strength. Because he is not strong. Because of that weakness, he is afraid that if others get to know that he is weak, then others will know that the fact that they can also dominate over him. This is the reason they do Zulm on others in order to hide their weakness. So now you see the difference of thought between the dunya and the imams. The world is saying Zulm is the result of strength. Imams are saying Zulm is the result of weakness. And this is where we understand why Islam, why Allah has said that you understand life and deen through Ahlul Bayt. Yes. If you go after the world, then the world will misguide you and say that the world is saying Zulm is a result of strength. They are powerful, that's why they are doing Zulm. Imam is saying, if they are doing Zulm, then know that they are weak, that's why they are doing it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Zulm is a result of your inferiority. Because you feel that you're inferior. That's why you do Zulm on others. Because a person is strong, he doesn't need to do Zulm. He doesn't need to rely on Zulm. He knows he's strong. If he is weak, then he does it. Understand this. If he is weak, he does it. There was a ruler of the Muslims, and his name was Mansur. Mansur Dawaniki was from the Abbasi rulers. And after the Umayyad, when he came in charge, he was known for his bloodshed. He was a cruel ruler. He killed many people. And he was used to killing. And Mansur Dawaniki, that's how he became as the ruler. And this Mansur, if you want to know what kind of a ruler he was, after he died, when they opened his safe, you know, in our houses, if we have a safe, we'll have a safe that's 1 foot by 1 foot. You know, that's enough for our treasures. But when these people had safes, it did mean that little safe that you open in the wall behind the photo or picture. Right? To them, their safe is a whole mansion itself. Is a mansion itself that you go into and see their treasures. They are the emperor, and the emperor of the largest empire the world has ever seen. So they have wealth from all over. So when they opened his safe and they walked inside, they saw heads upon heads of Sadat and Sayyids. In that safe, they had heads upon heads of the children of the Imams lined up in his safe. This was who? Mansur Dawaniki. This Mansur Dawaniki, whose treachery and whose bloodshed was such that his advisors, they used to get afraid, and so they came to him one day trying to advise him to stop this. Obviously, they couldn't say zulm. But they said, you know, whatever habit you have, it's all right, let's put an end to this, you know. Maybe you can do something else with them, you know. Let's not just, you know, slaughter them, you know. Let's do something else with them, right? They said, do something else with them. So, you know, they came and advised him. They came and advised him and said, do something else with them. Don't do this with them because of the fact that it will help our image. I mean, here we are like establishing a rulership here. So we need to get those people on our side. So now what happened is that this Mansur Dawaniki, when he heard this, he said, listen, the rulers before me, the rulers before me who ruled, they had a name, background, they had a history, they had everything. Meaning those rulers, they had a history. They had a history that they were with the Prophet or this and that, whatever history they had. That others can look at their background and say, yes, this person came from this, this, this. And he has this, this, this. Whatever history they had all kinds of things. And they could not establish their rule without zulm. They could establish their rule without zulm. And me, I have come from the streets. I have no background. I have no name. I have nothing honorable behind me. So if I don't do this zulm, do you think my rule will last? Understand his reply, my brothers and sisters. Do you think my rule will last? I do this zulm on them. I do this zulm on them so that they are preoccupied with this zulm. And if they are preoccupied with this zulm, then they won't have time to think about the fact that I am in power. See, understand this. Those who do zulm understand his reasoning. He is doing zulm for what? He wants them to be preoccupied. If they are preoccupied with oppression, then who's going to care who's in charge and who's not? Everyone's worried about their own self. Everyone's worried about their own self. For example, you see, I work 8 to 5. I come back home and I'm tired. I'm tired over here. Now if I have to worry about the fact that if I go home and if I say something, then my neighbor's going to come and report me, or someone's going to come and shoot me, and someone's going to come and throw an arrow at me. If I'm worried about myself, I don't care what's happening outside the door. I said, leave it outside the door. When I'm here, this is my home, that's it. Nothing from outside comes in. I don't go outside also. If I have to worry about my wife and kids' lives, I won't care who's in charge as long as I can live. As long as I can live. So now you see, Zulm is done. So that when you are preoccupied with the oppression that you face, then you don't even have time to think who's ruling you and what are they doing. And if these are the rulers who do zulm on others, they want others to preoccupy themselves with their own problems so that they don't think about their past. Because if you think about the past of the zalim, then you know how worthless it is. They are afraid to expose their past to you. That's why they keep on doing zulm. And they keep on doing zulm. This is the way of those people who do zulm. Zalim are those people who are afraid of exposing their past. Who are afraid of revealing their history. This is the zalim. That is why they do zulm. But those who are with Allah, those who are appointed by Allah, they want people to have time so that they can think about their rulers. And the more they will think about their ruler, the more they will know the right they have to rule over them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So now my brothers, understand what I'm saying. Zulm is done by zalim. Why? Because zalim, they are afraid of revealing their past. Those who are with Allah, those whom Allah has appointed, they want people to think. They want to give them the chance to think. Because when they get the chance to think, then they will understand that yes, they have the right to rule over us. They are just, through them they will recognize the characteristics of Allah. This is why when we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he ruled, he wanted to give people the chance to think about him. So that they can learn from him. And they can understand his way. And understand why he should be the ruler. My brothers, understand. This is the way of those people who are just. Now I don't want to stay here. I want to go on now. And now I want to come to my result of the speech. You see, Adl of Allah, when we accept it and when we believe in it, what are its effect on us? What does it do to us? When we believe that Allah has put everything in its proper place, that Allah is the one who gives the right to those who deserve it, when we believe that Allah is the one who only does good, does not do evil, when we believe that Allah has made this whole universe and has made everything in this universe in perfect justice and balance. When we believe in that, when we accepted that, so the effect of that belief in the Adl of Allah is that we, out of believing in that, have itminan e qalb. Understand this, what I'm saying. Having iman in the Adl of Allah, the result of it is that we have itminan e qalb. That we have peace in our heart. Our heart is at peace. Our mind is at rest. We have no worries. We have no anxiety. Why? Because if Allah is Adil, then He has put everything in its proper place. So if He's putting everything in its proper place, why are we worried about it? Understand this, my brothers. I'm I am in anxiety. Why? Because I don't have that $1 million the other guy does. I am worried about it. I don't have it that other guy does. Now when I am worried about it and I am envious about it and I have anger about it, why don't I have it? Why does he have it? Now what happens in this regard? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we believe that he's adil, then Allah knows where best to put his ni'mat, where best to put his blessing. Maybe we don't deserve it. That's why he didn't give it to us. Maybe he deserved it. That's why he gave it to us. Why are we worried about it? If he has it, why are we worried? If I don't have it, why am I worried? This worry that we have, this anxiety, this depression that we have, is because of the fact that we don't believe Allah is adil. Is we don't believe that Allah is adil. If we have believed in the fact that Allah is adil, then we would never be depressed at anything. We would never be depressed with anything. We would never have any sort of depression regarding anything. This is why when we say that you believe that Allah is adil, this is from the usul al-deen. Why? Because of the fact, through this we gain itminan al-qalb. Through this we gain this. For example, I am sick. I have an illness, I have a disease. And I am young. So now I am angered. I'm angry. I'm upset. Why? Because others my age are doing so many things. And I am not. I can't. So I am angry. Now why this anger is there for? If you know that Allah is adil, then Allah, if He gave you this sickness, and if He gave you this disease, then the fact is that He gave it to you with a reason. He gave it to you for a reason. So now if you believe that Allah is adil, you don't need to be worried about it. Just take your medicine. See, one thing is to go and take your medicine. That Allah says do. If you're sick, you have to maintain yourself, take your medicine, get yourself checked, do what you need to do. But the other thing that we do on top of that is worry. We fret. We are angry. We are upset. This becoming upset at it, this shows that we don't have iman in the adl of Allah.
Yes.
You see that? This shows that if we had iman in the fact that Allah is adil, that Allah does right and Allah does good, then whatever He has done it for a reason. He has done it for a reason. This is the reason why we see that we must believe in that. Just one incident, and I'll go on from here, my brothers and sisters. And you see this. What kind of, when we know, for example, if there is a zalim, if he oppresses us, if he's doing zulm on us, then Allah says that you stand up against zulm. But don't get depressed. Don't go into anxiety. Don't lose your sleep over it. Why? Because Allah is adil. That person who's doing zulm on you, he has made you mazloom. You will get your reward for being mazloom. In akhirah, he will get his punishment for being zalim in the akhirah. If you know that Allah is adil, he will give it to you. If you know that Allah is adil, he's going to give it to him also. See, understand this, my brothers. What is the effect of the adl of Allah in our lives? When Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, and you know who Hajjaj was. He was another one of those. Butchers in history. He was a complete butcher. He killed so many people. And Shias at that. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. One day, there was this one Shia of Ali who was brought to him. And they said that he is a Shia of Ali, and he was judged and said that, okay, his sentence is death. So Hajjaj now wanted to give him death and said, listen, you have to die, but you know what? How do you want to be killed? How do you want to be killed? See, understand this, my brothers. Hajjaj is asking this mu'min, How do you want to be killed? Now imagine this type of zulm. He's saying, either by knife, dagger, sword, rock, whatever you want, I'll do it. Easier, harder, you choose. Imagine that. Now for him, he should have said, okay, give me a lighter punishment. Meaning, you know, one hit of the sword, you're dead, and there's not that much pain. You know, but if you have to be stretched to death or something like that, then it's like a horrible death. So he should have chosen something that is light. So when Hajjaj asked him, how do you want to be killed? So the mu'min is someone who's trained by Ali. He replied back to him, why are you asking me how do I want to be killed? Ask yourself, how do you want to be punished? Ask yourself, how do you want to be punished? Because the way you're going to kill me here is the way Allah is going to punish you there. Imagine this. This is that itminan you have when you believe Allah is adil. This is that itminan. You know that this is not the end. This is only a life that's going to go there. And what you face here, you will be rewarded there. But that person who's doing it, remind him also that, listen, there's an akhirat you have to worry about. See, this is my brothers. This is the belief in the adl of Allah. When you have adl of Allah, then you have itminan al-qalb. And when you have itminan al-qalb, then you see that if the mu'min, if the Shia of Ali had this faith, imagine the iman of Imam Ali now. Imagine the ideology of Ali, who's the master of the believers. That's why we see that poison that Ibn Muljim had used was a poison that if you put it upon, it would kill the lake. It would destroy the life in that pond. That was the poison that was used on the head of Imam Ali. That poison was used on the head of Imam Ali, and you see how much pain should he feel. But we see that the others are crying around him. The others are in pain, and Imam Ali is trying to comfort them and saying, do not worry. This, my brothers, this is called iman in the adl of Allah. This is iman in the adl of Allah, that when we saw Ali writhing in pain, that's when we saw that when the doctor came, Imam Hassan asked a doctor to come. The doctor came, looked at Imam Ali. He looked at his injury. He looked at his wound. He looked at what happened inside the wound. And then he came with Imam Hassan outside the house and said that Imam Hassan asked him, what is the issue? And he said, listen, ask your father to give his last will because he is not going to survive this. He is not going to survive this. So Imam Hassan said, oh doctor, do not say it so loudly because my sister Zainab is listening. My sister Zainab is listening, do not say it so loudly. This was Imam Ali, that he is trying to comfort everyone while everyone is around him and they're in pain. But we see Imam Ali's azal and his character is such that Imam Ali has a different view. And when we look at him, that's why we see that we say, may our lives be sacrificed for you, O Ali. May our lives and the lives of our parents be sacrificed for you. My brothers and sisters, now we are becoming yatim today. We are becoming orphans today. Our imam is leaving us. Our imam is leaving us. But the days that he was ill, the days he was in the pain of this injury that was given to him, this wound that he had faced, he was in pain. But when he was lying down one day, we see that he was in the house. Everyone used to take turns in order to look after Imam Ali. At one time Umm Kulsum would come, at one time Zainab would come, and they would look after Imam Ali. There was one time when Zainab alayhi salam was looking after Imam Ali, and she brought him some milk and some bread, knowing that Imam Ali never ate two things at one time. He brought it to him and said, my father, these are hard circumstances for you. You need this food to go on living. Please go and eat this food that I have brought for you. you. Imam Ali looked at that food. Tears came out of his eyes. My brothers, understand what Imam Ali is thinking. What is going on through his heart? What is Imam Ali thinking about? When those tears came out of his eyes, Zainab said, "What is the matter, father? Why don't you eat this food?" So Imam Ali said, "Tell me, Zainab, tell me, did Ibn Muljim also get the same food? Did Ibn Muljim also get the same food that I am eating? If he gets the same food, then I will eat this food." Imam Ali is dying here, but he's worrying about the welfare of his killer. Imam Ali is dying, but he's worrying about the welfare of the person who killed him. But you see, this was Imam Ali's time. But I will tell Ali that, Ali, I want you to come to that time also and see that it would be a time now that there will be a desert and there will be many Muslims in front of them in the desert, and Hussein will be holding a 6-month-old child and saying, "Listen, this child, all he wants is water. All he wants is water to live. Please give him some water. Please give him some water so he can live." But instead of water, they will shoot an arrow at him. They will shoot an arrow at him. And this is how we see Imam Ali is going away from us. One time when Zainab, when she saw Imam Ali, he was sleeping, but he couldn't sleep. He was rolling over in pain. And Zainab came to Imam Ali and said, "Father, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you?" And then we see that Imam Ali said that, "Yes, there is something that you can do for me. Would you call Hassan over here?" And Hassan was brought there. And when Imam Hassan came there, and Imam Ali, he told Imam Hassan that, my son, I feel pain because I feel that Ibn Muljim is in pain. I see that the ropes are tied around him in a tight way and he's in pain. Go and loosen the ropes on him so that he can relax. If he can relax, then I will be able to relax." You see the heart of Ali. You see the heart of Ahlul Bayt. We are those who think of ourselves. We are those who think of our own selves and our own welfare. But the Imams are those people who think of the welfare of everyone. Who think of the welfare of everyone. This is the reason that when Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he died and that time came, when he died, that time came and everyone was around him and all the people gathered around him. Imam Ali, he gave his last wasiyah to everyone, his last will to everyone, and then he said, "Listen, do not cry for me. Don't you see Rasulullah is here waiting for me? Don't you see my mother? Don't you see that all the Anbiya are here waiting for me?" And when all the Anbiya came and these people were crying, one time Imam Hassan raised the voice, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And Imam Ali had gone, and Jibreel raised the voice in the sky, "Tahadda najwalla arkan al-huda," that the foundation of guidance has been broken. That the foundation of guidance has been broken. And now, my brothers, you see how Imam Ali was, how much effect it had on the people who lived around him. Imam Ali's life was not just his life, but it affected so many lives around him. That when we see that how when they went at night to put him in the grave, on the way back, Imam Hassan was walking and he saw that there is a tent, and in that tent there is an old man who was a leper. There was an old man who was a leper. He was outside the city. They would not let him come near the city because he was a leper. He had this disease. And that man was crying when Imam Hassan walked in there. When Imam Hassan walked in there and said, "Why are you crying, old man? What is the matter with you?" So the old man said, "You haven't come for 3 days. You haven't come for 3 days. Don't you know how much pain I've gone through? No one was here to feed me. No one was here to dress me. Why didn't you come for 3 days? Imam Hassan said, "But man, I've never come here before. I've never come here there before. Who are you talking about? And the man said, every day someone used to come to me, and someone used to feed me, and dress me, and take care of me, and I used to thank him. And now we see, for 2 days he hasn't come. When Imam Hasan asked him, who is that person? So they said, that this person is so-and-so. Imam Hasan understood that this was Ali ibn Abi Talib, his father. And he told the man that Ali is not going to come anymore. And that person is not going to come anymore. And that person was so shocked that he went into a swoon and he died. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. يعلم الذين أي منقلب ينقلبون بعد الحسين.